welcome to This Date Is Fecked. My name is Seph.
And I'm Elle. Hello, welcome. We're very excited to jump into it today. Seph has told me that she has a cracking story.
I do. I'm not going to lie. It's a listener story, everybody, so it's quite fucked. But yeah, how are you feeling? How's your week been?
I'm feeling good. My week's been good. Work's busy, but in a good way. What else has happened? Nothing really. But I'm really, well, a lot's happened in the news. So I'm keen to have some hardcore feminist chat today. So yes. I'll probably bring the mood down a little bit, but it's important to talk about this stuff. And you can bring the crazy, hardcore stories.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, I did have a funny start to the week because Elle and I live together now. But we start work a different time. So a couple of days ago, I received this package. Yeah, I had the buzzer rang for our doorbell. I went down to get this package and I was like, oh, it definitely isn't for me. I haven't ordered anything. Nobody knows our new address. We've just moved in. And it had my name on it and said Seph Hot Stuff and my last name. And I was like, what the, is this from my boyfriend? Like, what is this?
Is it a joke?
This is so weird. I have no idea who this is from. But I went up and I opened the book and it was about like anxiety and how to keep a relationship going, and I panicked. I was like, oh my god, it's one of my enemies, someone's trying to mess with my head, because there was no note, there was absolutely nothing. Like, I had no idea who it was from, and nobody was owning up to it when I was messaging people.
It was pretty intense. You messaged the group chat straight away and was like, guys, who sent this? It's not funny, I'm not laughing. And we were all like, shit, an anxiety book sent to Seph Hot Stuff last name. Like, it seemed like a joke almost, but preying on the fact that maybe you've discussed openly any of your mental health issues or, you know, things that are going on, which is just healthy to do.
It was about keeping a healthy relationship, and I was like, oh my god, it's one of my enemies, they're trying to ruin me.
And that says a lot about Seph, that she went instantly to psychological warfare, who's trying to bring me down.
I don't know. It ended up being one of my friends from London, Alison, who we're quite close. We talk about a lot of intimate relationship things quite often, and she was doing it to be nice, but it was quite a funny start to the week. I won't lie.
I'm sorry. I wasn't here for that. I could have supported you, it would have been a bit freaky. But then you said the scary thing was, what, 10 minutes later, the doorbell went again.
About four or five minutes later, I was panicking. I was calling my boyfriend, Phil. I was like, did you send this? It's not funny. He goes, no, it definitely isn't
me. Can you imagine if he did?
I know. And he's like, he goes, you've got a stalker. Like, maybe you've got a stalker. This is quite exciting. I was like, I'm so boring, Phil. This is not exciting. And then the doorbell rang again, and it was another package. I was like, Jesus Christ, they've come for me again. It just turned out it was Optus, so fuck it. Anyway.
Well, that's an exciting start to the week. I haven't had anything nearly as exciting.
No. Should I tell a story first, or do you want to talk about what's in the news first?
How about I talk about one thing?
Yeah.
And then you can lighten the mood afterwards.
Go for it.
So it's been in the news for a little while now. I'm sure you've all heard of it. It's literally been a week or two. So Brittany Higgins, we've all heard about her. She's the former staffer for the Defence Minister, Linda Reynolds, who has accused another former staffer of sexually assaulting her in her boss's office at Parliament House.
Do we know his name?
No. This is one of the issues with rape allegations. Yes.
You can't name
the accuser. You cannot name the accuser. I don't know if that changes when they're found guilty. Probably when they're found guilty it changes, but until, it's sort of that innocent until proven guilty thing. My understanding is that came into effect a couple of years ago because of the Rebel Wilson case, the defamation case. It has something to do with that and journalism and the fact that you can't defame. Yeah, it's linked to defamation. Her defamation was about her age and other things. This is obviously more sinister. But unfortunately, the name that we associate with this whole story is Brittany Higgins. That's splashed across the news and everyone's discussing her. This fucking low-life scum who allegedly, we have to say, did this. His name's nowhere. He's completely anonymous. Hopefully, if it comes to a guilty charge or, you know, there's a sentence passed or something happens, I'm sure it'll go to court. Hopefully his name comes out and we can all boo him together.
Yeah,
but
down with the rapists.
Well, fucking oath. Anyway, so the allegations were first reported, I think, on the 15th of February. So it's been a week, more than a week. Wait, what day is this? Yeah, it's been 10 days.
2018 or 19, though.
Yes, it did. It happened 2 years ago, but she says the reason she didn't bring it up then was because she was new in her dream job. She was a junior staffer.
Mm.
She didn't want to ruffle feathers. She didn't want to lose her job. There was this sort of overarching fear of losing her role because of what happened, and she decided that silence was probably the safest option for her for her career, which is a common story, to be honest. She says she brought it up 2 years later this year because she saw an image of Scott Morrison standing next to the recipient of the 2020 Australian of the Year Award, who, as we know, is Grace Tame. I should know that. Who is a sexual assault survivor and who has been advocating for open speech about sexual assault, because she was also silenced when she was sexually assaulted in high school by a teacher. So that's what prompted Brittany to bring this up. She saw that image of Scott Morrison standing next to Grace, you know, and she said it sickened her to her stomach. Like, she was like, this is so wrong when your government knew what happened and didn't support me appropriately. So she's spoken up, so good on her. Since then, I think three other women have spoken forth about this guy.
The same man?
Yeah, about the same man. So I think we can safely assume that he's a nasty piece of work.
So the only thing I haven't read about this, because I know that you wanted to talk about it, but what I heard is the security guards actually saw her. Is this what you're going to speak about?
Go on.
So from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, the security guards actually saw her after her assault, and they said, should we call a doctor or an ambulance? Should we help her? And they didn't.
I think it does sound like she tried to sort of quieten it all after it happened. What happened was they'd been out, they'd been drinking, they were quite drunk. They got in a cab together, and the cab was meant to take them home or take them somewhere or get her home because she was feeling quite sick. It took them to Parliament House. Now, how they got in, I'm assuming they obviously had their passes. It was late at night because they'd been out drinking.
And they would work quite late hours.
Yes, I imagine that lots of people work late in Parliament House. So they got in. Allegedly, they got into this other ministerial office. She laid down because she was feeling sick and unwell. Next thing she remembers is waking up and he was raping her. She was crying. She asked him to stop. She tried to push him off, but she couldn't. The next morning, so they obviously stayed there all night. She must have passed out again, or I don't know. It doesn't go into details. The next morning, she was found by security guards, and they offered to call an ambulance. That's the end of the story, as far as I know. I don't know how far they've dug into it, but that's where it sort of leaves off. So they obviously knew something had gone wrong.
Yeah.
And that, it wasn't a normal situation.
No.
So after that, she's gone to her superiors. She's tried to talk about it. They don't offer counselling, but they offer to sort of raise it with police, because technically this is a crime and should be raised with police directly.
Wasn't the whole office steam cleaned after this?
Oh, I haven't heard that.
That's what I heard. So the day after, or 2 days after the attack, the office was ordered to be cleaned.
Another thing that's pretty messed up is they had this whole meeting with her in the same office after the fact.
Yuck.
To talk through it. And they've apologised for that, apparently. The initial meeting to discuss the allegation happened in the office where she was sexually assaulted, which the Liberal Party have said they regret now. Thank you so much. The party says they offered counselling, but Brittany Higgins says that never happened. The whole thing's awful, but something that's really stuck out for me is the fact that Scott Morrison's response to it was so feeble and came from such a freaking...
forced to the place. Like, he he didn't have to say anything, if he was the leader, he wouldn't have said anything at
exactly. all. Exactly. But it's more the fact that he's just so... what's the word? The opposite of woke? Not that I like using the term woke so much, because it can mean a lot of different things and be construed different ways. But he's so blind to tone.
Mm.
He's so tone deaf. He says... his response to it after he heard about it for the first time, now we'll never really know if he knew about it before or not. Apparently no one told him until it all came out in the press.
I doubt it was.
But a lot of other leaders knew about it in Parliament House.
Exactly.
And none of them offered her counselling or even just came up to her. They knew that she didn't want to press charges at that point. They knew that she wanted to just continue with her job, but none of them came up to her and said, I know something's happened. Can we offer you counselling, support, anything else?
Can we fire this man who did it?
I think he resigned the next day.
He's a rapist.
Because he knew he was guilty, as if you don't... He resigned the next day.
Yeah, awful.
If that's not a clear indication of guilt, I don't know what is.
Awful.
Anyway, so my issue with Scott Morrison's response is he said, Jenny and I spoke last night and she said to me, you have to think about this as a father first. What would you want to happen if it was our girls? He said, Jenny has a way of clarifying things, always has. And so as I've reflected on that overnight and listened to Brittany and what she has to say, the issue here... Some people see it as a nice sentiment. A lot of people, he's had a lot of backlash over this over the past week. The issue is, it shouldn't take you having daughters to have empathy for another woman.
No.
She's a woman, regardless of her relationship to a man, to a father. She is a person who has been hurt terribly under your guardianship, in a sense, because it's in your fucking house.
Your backyard.
Your backyard. You didn't know about it or decided not to know about it. Mm. Who knows? And the fact that you have to think about it as if it's your daughter to care? No. It's an Australian. It's a person who works for you in Parliament.
Right.
It's just, yeah, there is no grey area here. It's just, it is a wrong thing. You shouldn't have to think about it. Jenny, your wife, shouldn't have had to tell you how to think about it.
Poor Jenny.
You know, and some people are saying, oh, you know, some people experience empathy differently. Some people understand it differently. But if you're leading a country, you should care about your countrymen and women.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So, yes, that was my big issue. I know there's been a lot of chat about it. I don't know where it's going. I am assuming there's a big inquest into
I just hope
goings
he goes
on.
To jail.
Well, yeah.
That's what
sort
he
of,
deserves.
You know, that
and
is what he
that
deserves.
That we do get to know his name so he can pay for what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway.
Okay. Anyway.
That's my serious chat. Lighten the mood.
No, good on you. I feel like it's so important to speak about this stuff. It's not spoken about with young men enough.
Mm-hmm.
Will, like, you and I want to have a talk about consent later on, because there are so many times when I was younger that I was pushed into things which I shouldn't have been pushed into. Looking back on it now, like, I wouldn't have done, or maybe I was too drunk to do.
Mm.
Anyway, should I lighten the mood?
Lighten it. Tell us a funny story. You told me it was crazy.
This is actually, it's a listener story that was written into us. It was written quite beautifully as well.
Oh.
Really, really well written. So I think, to do it justice, I'll read what he said.
Please do.
It's one of our good friends, Pat, who Elle and I used to work with at a bar in Mossman.
Is he okay with being named?
Oh, yeah, he's fine.
Oh, good boy.
He's
hello,
fine.
Pat. We've
hello,
said hello
Pat.
Over this before.
Okay.
Let me take a swig of wine.
Okay, so from one of our last episodes, last year, you were talking about do men thrust when they masturbate?
Oh, yes.
And he was just saying, no, we don't do that. But Elle's chat about getting caught brought back some childhood traumatic memories.
Oh, gosh.
And I've got another story for you, he says. This one is messed up even by my standards, and the setup requires a bit of explaining, so bear with me. Also, I was young, so don't judge me. I'm judging you. So basically, my family used to go on holiday to the Gold Coast every year, and my friend Oscar would come with us. Dad's friend was on holiday in the same place, and one of them had a daughter who was about our age. We were 13 and she was 15. Anyway, on this holiday, Mum had found out that her dad was in hospital dying, and she had flown home with my younger brother and the rest of the family to be with him. I was not that close to him at all. Dad stayed as the Magic Millions horses sales were on at the time, and this doubled as a business trip for him. Oscar and I were both teenagers, so we got to stay with pretty much the penthouse apartment to ourselves and no supervision.
At 13.
Mm-hmm.
Christ.
Their family's big in horse racing.
Cool.
I'll
have to talk to you about that, Pat.
Yeah. Naturally, our family friend, Melissa, name has been changed, came to hang out with us. And being that we were all horny teenagers, at one point the conversation turned to sex.
She's 15?
She was 15, they were 13.
Mm-hmm.
We were all virgins, and Melissa agreed that she wanted to give it a red hot crack, but didn't want one of us to feel left out. So Oscar and I played scissors, paper, rock to see who went first. He won, the bastard. And when all was done, we dropped the used condoms out the side of the window of the room, trying to hit the parked cars below.
Hang on. She did both of them, and it was her first time.
No, no,
oh,
just Oscar.
Okay, okay,
just Oscar.
I heard condoms plural, and yeah, I was maybe, like, "Christ!"
I'll have to confirm with him, but it. Look, I'll continue the story. Uh-huh. Anyway, a while later, it was just after Easter, and Oscar and Melissa came to hang out with my place in Sydney. We were upstairs in my room and decided to have sex again. She hadn't done it since and wanted to give it another go.
Melissa.
This time.
This is like Bert and Ernie.
I was first up to bat. The big difference was that Mum and Dad were home. So Oscar had to sit in my wardrobe with my laptop while Melissa and I had sex. Sorry, I can't. So Oscar's sitting in the wardrobe with headphones in while they sound like such
children.
They are children.
I know. Mm. Oh, gosh.
No sooner had I come then Mum starts banging on the door. I had a lock. I can't remember what she wanted, but presumably it was one of those parental things wanting to make sure we weren't up to mischief. Melissa and I both jump off the bed and look down, and she's had her period while we were having sex.
Oh, God, this is the poor thing. Double whammy.
Oh, it gets worse.
No.
It gets 10 times worse. Like, no! It gets the worst thing that you could ever imagine. Okay, go on. Anyway. I panic, throw the blanket over the mess, and then, thinking quickly, throw the bloody used condom into a half-eaten giant Easter egg that's in the corner of my room. So it's a condom full of cum and covered in blood. Period blood.
Wow. It's the Holy Trinity.
I should mention that Oscar is out of the wardrobe at this time, and he opened the door acting all innocent as if we were all just hanging out. Mum comes in, says whatever it is she has to say, spots the Easter egg, picks it up, and starts eating it.
Fuck off. Is this true, Pat?
Yes.
No.
I say, Mum, quickly, Mum, please, don't eat that. But when questioned why, all I would come up with was that I thought it had gone off. She takes another bite, says it tastes fine, and then walks out of the room with it while Oscar and Melissa both try to keep a straight face. To this day, I still don't know if she found it.
She had to. Oh my God, bravo.
Did I not tell you this is good? I love, guys, if you've got any listener stories, send them in because that's if you can so beat good. That, I will send you a prize.
That's so good. Oh my God, my heart was pounding there.
Oh, my heart's still, I've read that story 18 times and my heart's still. Can you imagine if your dad walked in the room after you just had sex with two boys and he picks up an Easter egg with a bloody condom in it and starts eating it?
Like, I remember I used to be, the only thing I can compare it to that comes to mind is I used to be embarrassed about, like, if dad changed the bin downstairs in the bathroom, like, and it had bloody tampons in it, I'd be so embarrassed. Like, and so I'd always try and do it first. Like, that's my only kind of correlation to this story. Yeah. That sort of, you know, fear of any sort of sign to your parents that you're sexually promiscuous or hit puberty or anything like that.
I once threw out a pregnancy test and hid it and I just chucked it in a bag and we gave it back to our family friends because it was ski gear. So I had all this ski gear that I borrowed and I was just quickly tidying up because I think my parents were coming in and I just chucked it in this bag, completely forgot about it. Returned it with all the ski gear. Like, obviously there's no wee on it or anything.
No.
But, like, returned it and then my friend messaged me and goes, hey, Surf, just wanted to know there's a pregnancy test found in, like,
fuck.
It's clearly negative.
Not a parent.
Her mum found it.
And who messaged you? The friend.
My friend, okay. Yeah.
That's horrific. I think that's better than someone not messaging. I think if there was no message, I'd be more uncomfortable, funnily enough. Because I'd always be wondering.
No, I would have had no memory. I was 20 at the time. Oh, you didn't remember
until she messaged you.
Had no memory.
Jesus.
How ridiculous is that? Isn't that awful?
The funny things we do. But also, interestingly, the things that we feel shame for.
It's quite funny now.
Look, a bloody condom full of cum in an Easter egg. Slightly shameful.
That's extremely shameful. I pretty, Pat, pretty sorry, up. I would be ashamed of that.
Oh, Pat, well done. Keep sending them through. Also, 13. Wow.
I know.
Is that young? I don't know. My reference is off.
I was 15.
I was 19. So
really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I'm quite la prude.
No,
not really. I'm not.
When it wants to happen. When it
wants
to happen,
it will happen. true though. Happens when it happens. I do have a friend who just turned 25, and she's still a virgin, and she is the most mused.
Mused.
That was the Queen's speech.
She is mused.
She is mused. Beautiful. Mused. She is the most beautiful girl. She's stunning.
Saving herself for marriage?
No, just it hasn't happened. She hasn't had a serious boyfriend. It's almost like she's too good for anyone. That's almost the issue here. Not that she thinks she's too good, just that she is just a divine, sweet, kind-hearted, beautiful, intelligent person. Like, she's the whole package.
Oh my God, show me a photo of her after this.
I will afterwards, and you'll be like, wow. And she comes from money, and she, not that that's a, you know, positive, but you know what
massive
I mean. Like, she's
a driver for me, darling. I'm all, you know, about like, the cashola.
All about the money, no. But, like, she's just, she's got it all. Do you know what I mean? She's just one of those gorgeous princesses that floats through life. Hasn't had sex. Just turned 25.
Fair.
I think, but I remember talking to her about it, and she was like, now it's almost become a thing. Because I'm this age, it's not just like, oh, I can just do it with anyone to get it done. It's like, it has to be special now. And I was like, it doesn't have to be special. You can still just kind of get it over and done with, air quotation marks, if you want to. But I understand that it's now got to the point where it's like, well, you know.
Fuck it. Well.
Anyway, get on her.
Do you want to deep dive into your second serious matter?
Second serious matter that people probably may have seen in the news over the past couple of weeks.
I get so angry about this topic because it's something that I was asked a question about recently from one of my friends, but I'll let you dive into it.
Do tell about that afterwards.
Yeah.
So the topic is around consent, which is one of the only topics that we get pretty heavy about in this podcast, in our chats. Usually it's pretty, you know, when we're not talking about poo and other funny things like condoms and Easter eggs, consent is a big thing for both of us. And the fact that it should be more spoken about, and it should be
understood,
advocated for, and understood.
It's
exactly.
It's a big basic issue. It is so basic.
It's basic, but it can also have a lot of grey areas, particularly as young people. But the reason it has grey areas is because we're not taught about it.
Yeah.
So that takes me to what I'm chatting about. There's been a petition launched, I think only 5 days ago, by a young girl called, not young girl, she's a girl, she's a woman, by a woman called Chanel Contos. The petition is that she wants to improve sexual consent education in Australian schools. Now, I don't know if this petition came off the bat of the Brittany Higgins case a couple of weeks ago.
I think it did.
I think it may have had something to do with it. Anyway, her petition, she talks about the fact that, you know, she had some blurred lines with consent with some private school boys, all school, you know, all boys school, private school boys. We know that there are some seriously toxic cultures with those schools and with those boys. In Sydney, in Melbourne, in, you know, those schools. We know about it. We know about the chanting on the buses and those horrible things they say. There's not a very healthy sort of sexual environment in those places. Not that that excuses
my issue
anything.
Is the pressure that boys will put you under when you're in school. Come on, do it. Like, why not? Like, but I feel like it.
Yep.
Or, like, one of my ex-boyfriends, actually, he would say, if you don't have sex with me, I'll break up with you.
And that's sexual coercion. So it's consent and sexual consent and the understanding of that, it includes sexual coercion, it includes peer pressure, it includes toxic masculinity. All of those things need to be spoken about, and that's what Chanel's brought to the fore in her petition.
I think it's also, sorry to interrupt, also just to say that I'm not here, like, we're both not here to bash men. I know lovely men. Like,
oh, gosh, majority of men I know are amazing.
Yeah, it's just like, but obviously people have done questionable things when they were younger, but it's... Some of these things, I'm like, how did you not know if that's okay? And why would you... My issue is, why would you want to have sex with someone...
Who
doesn't want to with you, but how would you enjoy... Like, why would you want to convince someone to have sex with you and enjoy it? Like, you're convincing someone to touch you. Like, how embarrassing is that?
Yeah, that's almost the same as... telling your boyfriend that you want to get flowers. It's like, you either get me the flowers, I shouldn't have to tell you about it. I mean, this is obviously a very different
level. I don't understand that enough.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Valentine's Day. I don't want to have to ask you to buy me a Valentine's gift. I want you to want to buy me a Valentine's gift.
I want you to want to have sex with me.
Yes.
Yes.
Completely. If I had to convince someone
to have sex,
I would
with
feel
me.
I'd be mortified. Not sexual. I would feel non-sexual because they are not sexual for me.
I would feel
so... Do you know what I mean?
I've had, I've had dated boys. I was like, why aren't they into me? Is something going on? And then I just feel like shit, and I'm not going to force myself onto them or force...
No.
No way. Like, it's not like, how is it fun? How would that be fun for anyone to convince someone to want to touch you?
But that takes us back to the whole school thing.
Yep.
Young boys or girls, I don't know. But let's say, for the sake of this conversation, majoritively boys in school. It takes us back to that and the fact that they don't have the education around it and they don't understand what they're doing and why it's wrong. So her petition is asking for sexual consent education to be present in sexual education classes in schools.
It should also be present in the home. I was never taught about consent.
But you can't rely on every home to do it.
No.
You can put a curriculum in and you can enforce it. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Fair. So I'm pretty sure she did bring it up because of the Brittany Higgins case, but it had so many responses. I think, I don't know how many, but it's in the thousands, like people signing it, people talking back, conversations were started, particularly around private school boys.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of conversations were started and it was almost like a sort of second wind of the Me Too movement.
Was any school named in particular?
I don't know. But a couple of names are like popping in my mind as I think of them.
I won't say.
You're about to mouth something to me. Yes, probably all of those ones. If you're listening to this and a name pops into your head of a private boys' school, it's probably that one. So yes, it was like the second wind of Me Too, people telling their stories. And then hearing her put this forward, it's like, yes, everyone said their Me Too thing. But it's like, how can we fix this so the next generation doesn't have to tell the Me Too stories? Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, it's great that we're talking about it, that we're opening the channel of conversation around it, but something needs to change, obviously. So this is one way to address the issue. Education. Cut the toxicity out off at the root. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that has to be an amazing place to start. Now, I don't know where the petition's landed. I don't know if it's actually opened up any conversations in the education department. But I know certainly for myself what 10 years ago in high school, 10 years ago now, more, Christ.
11.
Or when sex ed started in year six, I think.
Not for me.
So sex ed, I remember seeing penis diagrams on the wall, on the... Blackboard. Yes, blackboards, not even whiteboards back in our day. But yeah, even if it was a conversation that happened in, you know, year 8 or 9, whenever, it certainly didn't happen for us. So
it should happen ASAP. I think through your whole life you should be taught about consent.
Absolutely.
Don't touch that boy that way. Please don't touch that girl inappropriately.
Or being able to... And yes, I was going to say being able to say, no, that's my... private space, personal space. Yeah. But it is also, the onus is on the other person as well. It's the same thing that we do all the time, which is about victim blaming, like, was the girl drunk? Was the girl dressed inappropriately? This and that. It's like, no, let's just teach the boys. Let's teach our boys.
And girls. And girls.
Just to be respectful of other people's spaces, bodies, minds, thoughts, beings.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of that
just
stuff.
Just don't pressure people into sex. I think that's pretty...
Because there are some blurry lines and it seems like a lot of boys in high school don't understand the lines. I'm sure there are lots of boys that I know that probably, you know...
Pushed
a girl in high school.
They
and
tiptoed
they
that
probably,
fine line.
Exactly. And they probably don't even understand how wrong it is. And they wouldn't even look back and think to themselves, oh shit, that was probably really inappropriate of me. So the teachings need to start earlier. Yes.
Good on you.
Thanks, mate.
I wanted to speak about that. I speak about consent every week to everyone. I speak about it to my boyfriend a lot. Some of the stories that I've told him, he's like, I can't believe that boys have done that. And I go, there are so many boys out there who aren't like you, Phil.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
It's kind of nice to hear a guy back up your experience. Not that you need a man to back up your experience to say whether it's valid or not, but it's kind of nice that your boyfriend says, yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And acknowledges that.
Yeah. Oh God, that's somber stuff tonight.
Although you were going to tell me about something your friend said when discussed consent.
So one of my best friends, Millie, she has had a beautiful daughter and she's got another one on the way. She messaged our schoolgirl group and said, guys, I'm thinking about sending my daughter to schools, but I don't know, should I send it to a Catholic school? Did you enjoy your experience at Brigidine, which is where I went? the first thing I said, look, I loved Bridgeting. I loved all the friends that I made, where there's still a huge group of us 11 years later. But what I am upset about is they didn't teach us about sexual education or consent enough. And I don't know whether that's because it was a Catholic school.
Or a reflection of the times, or that hopefully have changed.
Yeah, well, 11 years isn't that long, but...
Long enough. I think a lot's happened in 11 years. A lot of Me Too movements. Do you know what I mean? I feel like the conversations are opening up.
Yeah. I just got a message from Phil. Ola booby. Sorry.
Ola booby.
I don't know. That just popped up. I thought it was funny. He's never called me booby before.
Maybe he meant to write baby.
I don't know. Let me finish.
Okay, go on. I've got She asked about school.
Yes, and I said, look, the only thing that I regretted about Bridgeting was they were never taught us about consent. Not once was it ever brought up, this is how you if a boy tries to do this to you or a girl.
I think that was pretty much across the board though.
Yeah,
public, private,
but she goes, Catholic. That's a great point. That's something that I'll go in when I do ask to do that.
All right, you're lightening our mood again.
I'm lightening the mood.
Goodo.
Actually, this is quite a strange story. I'll show you the photos as well.
Okay.
So 5 days ago, it hit the news, worldwide news, about a couple in England.
I don't know if I've heard of it. No, I don't think I did.
So they are in... Where are they based?
I feel stressed.
Yeah, it's definitely in the outskirts of the UK.
Country?
Definitely, like if you look at the photos of them, they're fucking from we out there. I don't know, that was more Scottish.
What was that?
I don't know.
Could have been Scottish.
Don't embarrass myself.
The Highlands? I don't know.
Somewhere awful. Anyway, so.
Somewhere awful. We love Scotland.
So, daughter Jess Aldrich, she has been with her partner, Ryan Shelton, for a couple of years. They already have a child together.
That's a famous person's name.
No.
Ryan Shelton.
Some.
Obviously, this isn't him. No. Sorry. Continue. No.
Anyway, so Jess Aldrich has been with her partner, Ryan Shelton, for a couple of years. They have a child together, I think a daughter. And she is heavily pregnant and she's in hospital with her second child to Ryan. She and Ryan had moved back into her mother's place because they'd fallen on financial times and they just needed... difficult financial times and they needed support while she was so pregnant from her mother.
Sure. It's crazy COVID times. Sure.
Crazy COVID times.
Yep.
Jess is in hospital. She's giving birth to her child. She doesn't hear anything from her mum and she doesn't hear anything from her partner, her long-term boyfriend, Ryan.
No.
She has to give birth all by herself. And when she gets home from hospital 2 days later, she comes back home.
For 2 days, she doesn't hear from them.
No, she comes back home. And her mum and her partner have run away together and have started, they were having an affair. And she's like, how the fuck am I meant to look after two kids by myself now?
Whoa.
Her mum has run away with her boyfriend.
Okay, it's one thing. It is one thing to run away with your daughter's boyfriend. It's another thing to do it when she is heavily pregnant.
Yep.
Like your daughter is in quite a... medically dangerous time in her life.
Yep.
Like giving birth is a dangerous, scary thing. And she's just fucked off with the partner who also seems to not care that his partner is pregnant.
And
Jesus,
you know,
fuck. Really?
So the mum's 44. Jess, the daughter's 24. Ryan's 29. And they put a joint Facebook status out together. They've now put their Facebook relationship status up. They're in a relationship. They've planned to move in together. They're currently sleeping on a couch at... Georgina's, the mother's sister's place, and their Facebook status said these things happen. They don't happen. That never
happens.
These
things don't happen.
They don't fucking happen.
I mean, falling in love with the wrong person happens, but you deal with it like a human. Okay, 44 and 29, not a crazy
not that
age
big deal.
Gap.
No.
The but fact that it's your daughter's partner kind of fucked up. The fact that you then decided to not only run away, but run away when she was pregnant.
In hospital. She was in hospital.
Oh, my God.
In hospital having his baby.
Oh, that's horrific. What a horrible person. What a horrible
couple. Awful. But, yeah, quite
my God.
Good story. Cracking story.
Cracking story. Wow. It kind of makes me go, okay, my life's not so bad. Not that I think my life's bad, but, you know, you go, wow, things could be really fucked up for me.
I know.
Poor Jess.
I know. I feel bad for her. I'll post the stories of the family on Instagram. But Jesus.
It's not even just talk to her about it and say, hey, we've actually fallen in love and this is a thing. It's better than being a coward and fucking off. So that's like basically you've decided it's one thing to be the other woman and run off and say, you know, I don't care about you, even if it was your friend. But this is your daughter. You've just decided to not have a relationship with your daughter for the rest of your life.
Ever.
You're not going to be in her life. You're not going to be in your grandkids' life. It is the most selfish thing ever.
Yeah.
How horrible.
He just sounds like a pig as well. He
sounds like a pig too.
Look, to be fair, they all look quite grubby.
Not that looks are everything. But actually, I saw the pictures and they do look a bit.
They're very incest.
Bit rough.
Bit weird. My last story is actually I'm gonna bring it back to poo because you know I love a good poo story.
Like, but
this girl took a date home. Oh no, they went back to his place. That had a big night. They had sex. They had an amazing time. Amazing sex.
Good for them.
And he was in the shower, and she's sitting there thinking, "Fuck, I really need to go to the bathroom. Like, I literally cannot wait." I cannot wait. So she sprinted to the kitchen while he's in the shower, grabbed a container, did a poo in the container, had nowhere to chuck it. So she closed the container, put it in her handbag, and she says, "I got away with it. I was stoked."
Oh, God, I'm so glad there was a happy ending.
I know. Not really. She had to shit in the container.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it happy, but the outcome was better than him expected.
Finding her shitting in a container. Can you imagine if you walked in on a guy?
Someone's propped over a container.
In your kitchen.
No.
Taking a poo.
I would, if they were in the shower, I would bang on the door and say, "I'm so sorry. Like, same. I'm actually really unwell. I need to come in. Is that okay? I'm sorry."
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my first go-to. I wouldn't
shit in a container. Yes, that wouldn't be where my brain goes. Where do you wipe your bum? Where does the toilet paper go? Well, she obviously
didn't.
Awful. Anyway.
Grubby. You grubby little wench.
That was just a little finisher. But I mean,
you were also very resourceful. So good on you.
True. Good on you.
You made it work.
She didn't leave her name. It was anonymous.
Good on you, anonymous. Mm. What should we call her?
Glenda. Grab.
Glenda needs a Glen 20.
Do you have anything to add before we sign off today?
No, I think that's enough for one day.
Alright.
Right, thanks everybody.
Ciao, ciao. Thanks for everyone for listening. If you've got any stories, please write them in to our Instagram called This Date Is at This Date Is Fact. That fact, that's the handle.
Yeah, at This Date Is Fact with an E. Fact.
Fact. Fuck you.
But you know that because you're listening to us.
You are.
Or if you want to email, if it's like a particularly long story, which we also enjoy, send it to thisdateisfact@gmail.com.
All right, love you guys. Have a lovely Monday.
Bye.
Bye.